Massenet's 1892 opera, Werther, was based on Goethe's novel, The Sorrows of Young Werther, written in 1774. The novel was a sensation, catapulting Goethe from a previously unknown author into a hugely popular literary celebrity. The plot centers around the unrequited love that the title character has for Charlotte, who is married to Albert. In the end of the novel and the opera, Werther finds his situation untenable and shoots himself, dying in Charlotte's loving arms. No three boys for him. The novel was such a sensation that young men around Europe were dressing in the fashion described in Werther and often killing themselves as well, with pistols matching the descriptions in the book with the novel beside them. And we thought trends started with TikTok. In fact, it led to both the fashions and the novel being banned for a time. In this aria, on Christmas Eve, Charlotte is reading and reacting to her collection of love letters that she has received from Werther. In the letters, Werther warns Charlotte that she will dampen his letters with her tears and tremble. In 1884, Massenet's opera Manon debuted at the Opéra Comique de Paris. He beat Puccini's opera on the same subject, Manon Lescaut, by 9 years. However, Halévy had written a ballet in 1830, and Aubé had written an opéra comique in 1856. These were all based on the 1731 novel L'Histoire du Chevalier des Grieux et de Manon Lescaut by l'Abbé Prévost. Massenet also wrote a one-act sequel 10 years later called Le Portrait de Manon, involving the Chevalier des Grieux as an older man. This is clearly another example of a novel that inspired imaginations, although in this case it spawned many works of art, not a spate of suicides. Manon and Des Grieux, who have fallen in love at first sight, have run away together. Des Grieux conveys to her his vision of their future happiness in the aria En fermant les yeux. Rounding out our French triptych for today, we have an excerpt from Bizet's opera Carmen. First performed in 1875, it shocked and scandalized its audiences by breaking conventions. The fiery gypsy Carmen starts a relationship with the naive soldier Don José, only to leave him for the bullfighter Escamillo. Sadly, Bizet died suddenly a few months after the premiere, so he never really realized the success that it would bring him. The opera survived to become one of the best-known operas in the canon, full of familiar tunes, like the Toreador song, that pervade popular culture. In this aria, the Toreador Escamillo introduces himself by describing the bullring, the crowds, and the fame that comes with victory. Please welcome Hannah as Charlotte in the letters aria from Werther, followed by En fermant les yeux, also Massenet, and finally, the Toreador.
Verdad. Thank you. Toreador,
Is it safe now to talk about Fledermaus? Johann Strauss II's operetta Die Fledermaus premiered in 1874 in Vienna, 1 year before Carmen debuted in Paris. Fun fact, it is based on a play written by Mayak and Halevi, who are the librettists behind Carmen. In a farce of biblical proportions, all the characters are disguised and trying to trick each other. Adele, the maid, borrows one of her mistress's dresses to impersonate an actress at the Prince Orlovsky's ball. When someone suggests that she bears a striking resemblance to Eisenstein's maid, she reacts by laughing in song and describing all the ways in which she is clearly not a maid. Of course, I don't have to tell you. You probably know all of this because you all saw Western Opera's production in November. Opera as a form of theater had a special attraction for Kurt Weill because it allowed him to use a great variety of musical idioms to write music that is both serious and light, operatic and popular, emotional and sophisticated, orchestral and vocal. Weill began writing operas in Germany in the late 20s and early 30s, but fled Nazi Germany in 1933. Once he settled in New York, he made a study of American popular and stage music and worked to adapt his music to new American styles. Weill saw the play Street Scene, written by Elmer Rice in 1929, and described it as a simple story of everyday life in a big city, a story of love and passion and greed and death. He saw great musical possibilities in this theatrical device. Life in a tenement house between one evening and the next afternoon. And it seemed like a great challenge to find the inherent poetry in these people and to blend music with the stark realism of the play. Initially, Rice refused Weill's accept to adapt the play as an opera, but after the success of three of Weill's other operas, he agreed. It was quite a success and received the inaugural Tony Award for Best Original Score in 1947. Weill referred to it as an American opera, intending it as a synthesis of European traditional opera, examples of which we've been hearing all afternoon, and American musical theater. In the aria Lonely House, which we will hear today, Sam Kaplan sings of his crippling loneliness. Having reinforced the budding tradition of American opera, the art form has blossomed since Weill's day. Many well-known American composers have produced and are producing operas all the time, including but not limited to Samuel Barber, Dominic Argento, John Corigliano, John Adams, Mark Adamo, Jake Heggie, Lori Laitman, Libby Larson, to name just a few. Anyone got one more? No American opera? I don't know if I can throw it. To focus on one American opera composer, David Conte has received a Fulbright Scholarship, a Ralph Vaughan Williams Fellowship, and an Aspen Music Festival Conducting Fellowship. He studied in Paris for 3 years as one of Nadia Boulanger's last students. Then he lived and worked at the home of Aaron Copland, where his study of Copland's last orchestral work became the basis of his doctoral thesis at Cornell University. In his four subsequent decades of successful and prolific composition, Conte himself has been the subject of several doctoral theses. One of his best-known works is the one-act opera The Gift of the Magi, based on the short story by O. Henry. Not the chocolate bar. It centers around the relationship between Della and Jim, who are poor, but both give up the thing that is most important to them in order to be able to give a gift to the other at Christmas time. In Conte's opera, two characters are added to give each of the main characters a dramatic foil to play against, so they're not simply reduced to soliloquies. Della is given the friend Maggie, in whom she confides that she is going to cut off and sell her hair to buy a present for Jim. Maggie is horrified and tries to talk Della out of it, as she is convinced of the superstition that Della's hair won't grow back if she cuts it during a full moon. So, we move from European tradition with the laughing song to early American opera to later American opera.
Thank you.
From Mozart's Magic Flute, Pamina and Papageno sing to each other about the sweet rewards of love and marriage. They are not involved with each other, but rather two friends talking about their hopes and dreams for their relationships with their significant others. To find out how they meet and how things work out for them and everyone else in the opera, you will have to come and see Western Opera's production of The Magic Flute. Can anyone tell me when? Did I mention Western Opera is doing a production of The Magic Flute? On behalf of all the singers, I would really like to thank you for being here today. We really appreciate your presence and your support. This is just a magnificent showcase for a young singer, and I'm sure we can all tell they're going places. Fidelio was the first opera performed in Berlin after the end of World War II at the only undamaged theater in the city in September of 1945. In 1955, the Vienna State Opera was reopened with Fidelio. In 1989, Fidelio was produced for the 40th anniversary of East Germany. 4 weeks later, the Berlin Wall fell. In 1948, conductor Wilhelm Furtwängler remarked, "Now that political events in Germany have restored to the concepts of human dignity and liberty their original significance, this is the opera which gives us comfort and courage. The sentiments it expresses come from the sphere of the sacred and preach a religion of humanity which we never found so beautiful or necessary as we do today, after all we have lived through. We realize that for us Europeans, as for all men, this music will always represent an appeal to our conscience. It would seem that this opera has become associated with freedom, justice, and the dignity of humanity, just the type of music we need the most these days. Please enjoy this quartet from the opera Fidelio. Each character is expressing his or her own feelings on the situation. They are not interacting with each other, and Beethoven has each singer enter one at a time in canon every 8 bars, so the lyrics all overlap. It sounds like it should be absolute chaos, and instead it is musical perfection. Again, a beautiful metaphor for plural voices and viewpoints and experiences being able to coexist without erasing each other, and instead creating beauty.
Ooh. Here to people like this.
Yeah.